Well, today we have an experience for you where we're going to meet you where you are. The band's going to stay up here with me right now. And at different parts of this message, you're going to have the ability just to sit and reflect and ponder and see if God may do something in for you because in you. Because I know what you're going through right now. I honestly do. If you've been on this freedom journey, you're in a unique place right now. You're in one of four places. All of us in here are in one of these four places, and I'm in, my shoes are untied, and I keep thinking, I'll just wait till the first video. No, it's bothering me so much. I can't wait. I need to tie my shoes now. And then, you know, you do that, like, and then the one foot is tighter than the other foot, and that doesn't work, and so that's a distraction. Am I the only one who's OCD like that? You know, you're like, man, I need to get them both in the same. Okay, we're ready now. All right, good. Now I can do some preaching. I got my shoes tied. All right. We're going to have the opportunity to sit in this. And you are in a phase right now if you've been moving towards freedom. And I want to meet you where you are. I want to be a coach today. And I want to let you know what you're feeling is not crazy. You're not crazy. It's a mark and a sign of freedom. Last week we looked at the fact that it is normal to be in bondage. It is normal to not be free. We looked at the reality that there is an enemy that's trying to do us harm. There is an enemy that's trying to bind us, that's trying to take away our joy, that's trying to keep us distant from Jesus. And we find ourselves in things that are called strongholds, a fortified position, a place that we've built up and we're used to being here. We've got our convictions, we've got our beliefs, we've got our actions. We feel safe there, yet we're not free. We're not going places. And God is always about coming and getting, coming and rescuing, coming and taking us to a new place where the Spirit of the Lord there is freedom, not morality, not regulations, not rules, not confinement, freedom. And one of the things that Jesus does, he's called a Savior. He comes to save us. He comes to take us out of a stronghold. He comes to give us power that we don't have in and of ourselves. And the image of Jesus is seen numerous ways throughout the Bible. In fact, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years before Jesus was born in Bethlehem, there was another Jesus type of person. Actually, in theological circles, this person is called a type of Jesus, meaning a foreshadowing. His name was Moses. Moses was a Savior. He came to physically set the people of Israel into a place of freedom, to come and take them out of their place and put them in freedom. There's always a journey we go through to be in freedom. There's the blahs, there's the break, there's the blues, and there's the blessings. As a brief example, how I experienced this at one point was a number of years ago, I had a group of people that just thought evil of me and was trying to do harm to me. And so what do you do naturally? You do the normal thing, which everybody else does, and that is think bad thoughts of them and think all kinds of difficult things and fixate on it. I remember working on my deck one day, and finally after an entire day working on my deck, I realized, gosh, all I've done is thinking about these people. I'm not free at all. This is awful. I don't have any joy thinking about this. And so I made a break, and the break was, the first time ever, praying for my enemies. Not praying for, you know, people who are against America and another part of a globe. That's a whole different thing. But praying for people who actually are not, don't like me. I'm praying blessings, not praying for thunder to fall on them. Praying for actual, it was a break, it was a definitive break. And then there was the blues. It was an in-between period where I didn't really feel all that much better. It was an intermediary stage where not much was going right. And then finally, the blessings of, I could bump into anybody right now, and I don't dread bumping into anybody. There's some people I wouldn't necessarily enjoy to spend time with, but I'm not dreading to bump into anybody. The process I went through there, I've gone through hundreds of times, and I want to coach you through what you might be feeling. The stage number one, the nation of Israel was feeling, that Moses had to come rescue them out of was the blahs. It's the default position that you and I find ourselves in. It is the status quo. If you do nothing, no strategic spiritual growth, no about face turns, your life will be a blah. Everything flatlined. Do nothing and the status quo will take place. Moses was divinely appointed to be a savior, to bring the nation of Israel to a new place. He was actually born a Jew, but through a strange circumstance, he found himself as an infant adopted into Pharaoh's house. into his household. And it was there that he understood Egyptian ways. He had the best education the world could offer. He understood military strategy, all of these different things. And then something snaps inside of him and he realizes that he really cannot be in a household that's against his native people any longer. And he does something stupid and he has to flee. He goes and flees, goes out to the desert, and God meets him there and says, I need you to go back. You need to break my people out of bondage. You need to break my people out of the blahs and take them to a new place. Exodus 5, verse 22 says it this way. Moses returned to the Lord and said, Oh Lord, why have you brought trouble upon this people? Is this why you sent me? He goes back and starts talking to Pharaoh, and Pharaoh isn't receptive, and even the people aren't receptive. And he realizes to get somebody out of the blahs is hard. It's hard. Why would you have me do this? We go out of the blahs kicking and screaming. We think it's normal. We don't want to leave. Some of us think, well, you know, we say, well, isn't it normal to, I mean, I do 3 beers every night and catch a buzz every weekend. Isn't that normal? Well, it's normal for you because that's your stronghold. That's the blahs that you're in. Some of us will say, well, isn't it normal to wish ill on my ex and hope that he dates somebody uglier than me? Isn't that just normal? Well, yes, it's normal to somebody who's always bitter. It's your blahs. Yes, it's normal. That's not freedom. Well, isn't it normal to, if you're married with somebody, always flying on separate airplanes going to the same place? Because that way, if there's an airline accident, my kids have at least one parent. Isn't that just normal thinking? Well, yes, when you have fear and you think through everything from a fear lens, of course that's normal. But no, that's not freedom. That's your status quo. But no, that isn't freedom. Well, isn't it normal to be dreading Sunday night what I have to do on Monday? Isn't it normal to have no energy for my job at all? Isn't it normal to just work for the weekend? No, well, yes, normal for you. You don't have any idea of it being any different, what it would like to be free. Isn't it normal whenever I'm online to go in and check my account balance and see how much my net worth has increased? That's just normal. Well, that's not normal for you. When your safety and security and your benchmarking, your abilities rest on what a number says, yes, that's normal. But that's a stronghold. That's not freedom. And I could give dozens and dozens and dozens of these more. And that's what the blahs does to us. It convinces us that it is what it is. This is reality. Nothing unusual about it. But that's why there isn't freedom. That's why there isn't joy. That's why some of us right now are getting rocked, because it's time for us to get out of the blahs. God, I pray for those in the blahs that a light bulb would go off. And perhaps for some of us, it has just gone off. It's a good day. It's a very good day for those of us who are seeing something and now realizing there's a reality that we've accepted that is not necessarily true. I pray for those of us who are still stuck here that you'd pour grace on us, that you're a God that gives even if we don't do anything. That's how good and generous you are. As that song said earlier, continue to meet us and cheer us on as we go forward. Amen. Some of us can say, wow, I was in the blahs about 4 weeks ago, or a year ago, or a month ago. But the thing that comes right after the blahs is the break. A break is when there is a definitive move towards freedom. And that might not be something massive that everybody else thinks is big, but for you, this is big. You've never done this before. There's a specific action that causes you to drive a stake in the ground and say, man, this is what's happening right now. I'm actually going forward. I'm moving. I'm going someplace. The nation of Israel, when they were on their way to freedom, it was unmistakable when they turned their back on Pharaoh and left their huts, left their way of life, that there was a definitive break. And when Moses, when he takes them through the Red Sea, there was a mountaintop experience where they knew that things were different right now. Exodus 12, verse 40 to 41 says this. Now the length of time the Israelite people lived in Egypt was 430 years. At the end of 430 years, the very day, all the Lord's divisions left Egypt. 430 years of the blahs, the way it always was, and boom, away they go. Take off to the day. It was very definitive. You will always know what your break is. Some of these, you kind of morph in and out of them. This is one that it is always definitive. And if you don't have one, you're not in the way to freedom. It could be something like the first time you say to somebody, hey, I would really appreciate your feedback. Just so you know, if you ever see anything in me you want to speak to, please give me your feedback. You may have never asked that before. In fact, you might have lied before and said, well, thanks for your feedback, but really you hated it. You don't like when someone tells you something that you didn't think of, or when someone tells you something that makes you feel bad, because perhaps your stronghold is people's approval and self-sufficiency. And so therefore, the first time you actually encourage someone to give you feedback, they don't think it's that big of a deal because people normally say that. But for you, that was a break. That was a break where you turned away from something. One of the things that we do around Crossroads to be about freedom is we try not to tell everybody what to believe about every situation. So we'll do things that some churches would think is a real bummer. We let you come to your own conviction on certain things. For instance, baptism. We have some parents here that would like to baptize their kids, and we say, well, if that's your biblical conviction, great, we'll baptize your kids. We have other parents here who say, I have kids, and I don't think that should happen. Would you dedicate them? We say, sure, we'll dedicate them. Fine, beautiful, we'll do that for you. And yet, as cool as either one of those things are, there's something mystical about when a 16-year-old or a 46-year-old says in and of their own volition, I want to be baptized, I want to be dunked, and I want to declare to everybody and to myself that I'm drowning all my old garbage, I'm going to a new place. It is a powerful break. And for some people, like, oh, why do I need to be baptized? It's because you don't want to make a break. You don't want to make, or you maybe don't know Jesus, but one of those two is very, very significant and very profound. For some of us, you're in a small group right now for the first time in 3 weeks. That was a break for you. To do that was totally deviant from the mean, from your normal life. To actually go and open up and talk about yourself with other people, that is an amazing thing where you break from. In a moment, we're going to have the opportunity to be generous. We've got some volunteers going to come down and kind of pass some bags. I could use that or anything to illustrate freedom, what I felt in my life. I feel great financial freedom right now. And the reason is because 20 years ago, I made a break. 20 years ago, I stopped setting income goals. I haven't had an income goal for 20 years. That's what everybody does. That's a normal thing, and you fixate about it. I set giving goals. I set a giving goal. It turned it upside down. The break is always utterly upside down, and I feel a level of freedom right now, not just because of that, because Crossroads is very generous. Thank you very much. I feel free. In fact, you give me any topic I'm free in, and I could always tell you, this was the break. This was the break. Some of us need to be encouraged to go ahead and make a break, and we can learn from these people. God, for those who are feeling the euphoria from the break, or even the pains from the break, it's like going bungee jumping. You feel your stomach up in your throat because it's a new sensation. I just ask that you allow us to never forget what it was like when we took a step away from the norm. And we feel uncomfortable right now. Those who are in this place, I pray your affirmation to come on us. Your affirmation to come that says, well done. Well done. You're moving toward freedom. I just pray that we would realize that we are not weird and strange. We're just about to get free. Amen. After the break, what happens is something you just don't expect. You think, hey, it's all good now. Man, the hard part just happened. And then, no, harder stuff happens. It's called the blues. The blues. The blues are when you have regret or remorse. You think back to the things that you had, the things that you went away from, and you long for those days because you were very comfortable in those old shoes. You were very comfortable in that old stronghold. And there's things that are now awkward for you. Now you may go to a party and you realize that scotch was having a problem. And you go to a party and you're not holding a little glass with ice in it. You're not sure, how do I perform here? How do I interact with people? I feel like a fish out of water. Of course, it would be funny if you've never had that as a stronghold, but if you have, it's a hard thing. Or you realize, perhaps in the blahs, you notice that, gosh, ever since I've been 13, I've always been dating somebody. In fact, you overlap people. You don't go on to the next person until you realize you got somebody already lined up. And you realize, what was this? Maybe I'm afraid of being rejected. Maybe I always need somebody around. I'm not comfortable in my own skin. Or I don't know what the reason is. But you realize, wow, that's just been my reality. It's a blase. That's not good. And you actually break up with somebody when you have nobody in the wings. It's a break. And it was a major, you realize you're not going to be serious with this person long term. You just need to send yourself a message and break. And then the weekend comes. And you have the blues. The holiday comes. You're like, oh, what did I think? What did I do? This is always the way every change feels. In the middle, it feels like failure. On the way to freedom, this is the borderland, the in-between land where the blessings haven't kicked in and you don't have new muscle fibers yet. The other day, I was having lunch with a friend of mine. We met playing basketball years ago, and here recently he and his wife have been coming to Crossroads, and they're in the journey together, and we were sitting at lunch talking about it, and the person who was waiting on us, I'm not sure, is it called waitress, server? Does it not matter? I think there was a shift a while ago. No? Someone told me that people are offended when you say waitress. But it was a waitress. Let's be honest there. It was a waitress. So waitress comes up, and she overhears our talk, and she says, hey, you guys go to Crossroads. I looked at her and said, yeah, do you? She says, yeah, yeah. She says, what color are you? The creators of the journal, we work really hard. We didn't want to put anybody into a pigeonhole. We really did. There's four strongholds that are examples that we have in the guide, but there are hundreds of strongholds. And not only that, nobody can be categorized by a color. So we really worked hard not to have that be the case. Nonetheless, we as human beings are fascinated with certain things. We like to have handles. And there's been a lot of talk about, you know, what your color is. And that's not all bad. It's just happening. So let's just do a little survey here right now. I'm curious. How many of us are red? Red, yes. Bitter, angry. Red, go ahead, put your red, yes. You're upset right now that I'm asking you to identify yourself. If you're around that person, don't try to, you know, they're mad at you right now. You did something wrong. Okay, red. So how about blues, pride, religion? I know you could do a better job than me right now, but go ahead, put your hand up right now. Pride, religion. That's what I am, blue. How about yellow? Rejection, yellow, yes, yellow. Let me be very clear. You're not wanted here. You're really not. Just turn around and leave. No one likes you here. That's yellow, rejection. This is humor. Yes, humor. And last one. What's the last one? Green. What's green? Fear. Fear. Yeah, you're afraid of what I'm going to say to you, aren't you? Yeah, fear. Fear. It's interesting. It's just interesting to talk through where, you know, I guess every single time, what was the dominant one was right there. Bam, yellow. I actually have some opinions as to why yellow is the dominant one. Rejection is dominant. Actually, we were in a staff meeting. This started to go to my mind in a staff meeting. I was in this last week. There was a 12 of us who said, hey, where are you on this? 10 out of the 12 were yellow. And I actually have some theories for that we may get into at some point. It's cool to kind of identify where you are, but then when you actually start doing work on it, the blues hit. You don't like working on it. You'd rather have your old ways the way it was. And the nation of Israel feels this as they go to physical freedom. They have regrets. In the book of Exodus, chapter 16, they make the break, they leave, and here's what it says as they get on the other side of the Red Sea. It says this. In the desert, the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron, and the Israelites said to them, if only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There we sat around pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted, but you have brought us out into this desert to starve this entire assembly to death. Whenever you're in the blues, everything is exaggerated. You! In fact, the entire assembly you brought out to starve to death. To death. And when you're in the blues, everything is awful. Everything is extreme. What am I thinking here? And here's the deal about these folks. They just had a miracle. many of us think, gosh, you know, I would have faith in Jesus if only I could see the things that are in the Bible. I wouldn't have any doubts. I would tithe. I would forgive people. I would pray for my enemies. I would take bold risks. I would do all kinds of things, but I've never seen proof. I read the Bible and there's all these things that are amazing miracles. How come I don't get to see those things? If I saw those things, I would be free. I would be gone with my old ways. No, you wouldn't. Miracles never do that. They're nice instantaneous shots. Don't get me wrong. I love miracles. I want more of them come my way, please. But we see over and over and over again in the Bible, miracles don't have sustaining impact. The nation of Israel has just had a large body of water parted. They went through it. Their captors then decided to chase them down. The nation of Egypt came after them. When the entire army was on the bottom of the seabed, God causes the water to fall on them dead and wipe them all out. This is as miraculously as you can think. And yet, one of the reasons why I believe the Bible so much is it paints what you wouldn't think is the case in spiritual literature, but which all of us know in reality. You would think in spiritual literature, you go, oh, well, so everything's good then, right? No. No. Then they're going, oh, gosh, I didn't bring my utensils, my cooking utensils, and my crock pot. At least, and then they start thinking how great it was back in Egypt. Oh, we had crock pots full of Montgomery Inn, and oh, we had all this stuff. You were in slavery. You made bricks. That's what you did. You had no freedoms at all. You're only remembering that you had food your captors provided for you. You're not seeing the big picture. That's what happens in the blues. We fantasize about the good old days back in the blahs. We forget it was flatlined. I mean, there wasn't a lot of joy there. Every change, every march towards freedom feels like failure right in the middle. This is why some of us right now, you might want to quit your small group because it's hard. It's not working right now. You're not used to this. I had a friend of mine or a guy in one of my groups came up to me and said, after one of the groups said, hey, man, I think I'm talking too much. I said, you are not talking too much at all. I was thinking to myself, you think that because you never talk. Now you're finally talking, and now you're saying, oh, I feel like I'm talking too much. Yeah, because if you're always keeping everything to yourself, and then you start talking, you're going, oh, this is weird. Oh, I must be some egomaniac or something. The blues come over and cause you to have doubts over what you're doing. I'm just telling you, you're not crazy. If you're in the blues, everybody who's ever got free has been in the blues. We're trying to leave behind a whole world that is in the blahs. And when you're taking new steps, you will feel awkward. You'll feel clumsy. You'll feel sore. You'll have regret. You'll think, if only I had it differently. This is why in the book of Romans chapter 12, verse 12, it says this: do not be conformed any longer to the pattern of this world. Instead, renew your mind. This idea of renewing is in the original language, the tense is one of ongoing repeatedly. This isn't like a one-time make a break and have a different change of mind. No, the world, the ways of the world, the enemy is trying to constantly put its agenda on us, constantly make us feel like we need to have more, constantly make us feel like we've got to measure up, constantly making us feel like we're too this or not enough that. It's the message of an enemy trying to put us in bondage. And so what I have to regularly do is renew my mind. Regularly take thoughts captive and regularly say, no, that is not what Jesus thinks. No, no, God, I'm sorry. I need to think differently. I need to remember that my worth is not based on my financial net worth. My worth is based on how valuable you say that I am. And I dwell on these and process these. This is what we do in the blues, is we constantly memorize or think on things which are good. Just as a heads up this week, and if you have anybody that came last service, tell them this because I forgot to say this last service. If you're going into a small group, normally you can have 45 good solid minutes and get your work done and you're ready for it. This week is a bit different because to go through this blues phase, it takes repetition. And so you need 4 days because you'll see there's an action plan that we're trying to follow through on. And we need repetitive behavior on that. So just a heads up to you, try to open up your guide earlier in the week than you might have before. And we understand this because this is the way freedom always looks. Right here, right now, it feels strange. We feel like we're failing. We feel like it isn't working. And that's normal. Everybody who gets free feels that. We cannot get away with gravity. it pulls us down, sometimes to hurt us, sometimes to help us. It is what it is. And the blues are what they are. We cannot get away from them. There is no easy, quick fix. And so I pray this is encouragement, because many of us thought we were weird. We thought we were strange. We thought that something was broken, because why is it that I feel so out of sorts as I'm on this journey? I just pray for your enduring spirit to come on us. Give us the grace to endure yet another day. And then tomorrow, give us the grace to endure yet again. I pray that you would give affirmation right now. You would pour down your grace that says to those in the blues phase, you're on your way, you're doing well, I'm proud of you. Just pour that on those in the road to freedom and in the blues right now. Amen. Of course, it's not about the journey, and it's not about the blues. It's all about the blessings. That's where we want to get, right? The blessings, the blessings, the blessings. Christmas vacation, yes. The blessings. The blessings are when the fullness and the beauty of freedom is actually happening in your life. It's not an ethereal concept. It's not just an immediate feeling. But the beauty, the fullness of it is happening. You're in the promised land. That's really what it's about. That's where you want to be, where you want to enjoy. And I could give so many examples. I've given a couple for me. I've given a financial one, a bitterness one, just one holistically, right, occupationally. This is where I am right now. I am in the blessing phase. I mean, it is all good, literally living the dream in so many different ways right now. But it's because we went through a long journey, the family did. For 30 years, lived in Pittsburgh. That was the blahs, man. All you knew was Pittsburgh and people there and extended family. And then we chose to make a break and come here to Cincinnati to help some people start a church for their friends who had given up on God but hadn't, who had given up on church but hadn't given up on God yet. And I'll never forget getting the 24-foot U-Haul, packing it all up ourselves, and leaving. We made a break. It was a definitive break. Remembered that moment. And then the blues hit. You know, we had a nice house and a half acre of land before, and now we have a two-bedroom apartment on Erie Avenue. We had money for babysitters before, or extended family or friends, and now we don't have the ability to get a babysitter. I mean, now we're like really cooped up, and now there's two breakfasts a day, two lunches a day, gaining weight, and coffee, trying to get people. And I mean, it wasn't all happy, happy, joy, joy. There was some blues in the middle of that thing. And then somewhere along the line, the blessings kicked in. That's exactly where I am right now. I get to say things every week that would have gotten me fired in my last church. It is great. God bless America. I'm telling you, it's just good. I get to have an energy about things. I get to experience God in unique ways. And it's not automatic to do that in ministry. A lot of people in ministry are just doing the same things they've always done. And you can get the blessings if you're in P&G. You can get the blessings if you're a plumber. You can. Blessings are beautiful. They're amazing. Sandra Bullock got the blessings this last week. Academy Award, won an award. I always like when people win awards that I like. You know, oftentimes actors get an award or something, and I'm going, what movie was that? I never heard of that before. So last year, people got awards that I actually knew. Sandra Bullock acted in Blindside, which is a great book. I read the book or listened to the book on tape about, I don't know, 3-4 years ago. Cried about 5 different times in the book. It's a true story. It's an amazing, amazing story. And while she's in the blessings of feeling this award, here's what she says at her speech. She talked about her mom, and she says, thanks, Mom, for not letting me ride in cars with boys until I was 18, because she was right. I would have done what she said I was going to do. You know, you read this and you go, now, why would she say that? What does that have to do at all with an Academy Award? That makes no sense. Well, when you understand this is the way life works, it makes perfect sense. Because when you're in the blessings, all of a sudden you realize things that you didn't like that were in the blues phase now make sense. She's experiencing blessings. She realized a piece of how my mother built into me has equipped me for this day, and I can't help but thank her for the blues that she forced me on. But nonetheless, when my mom chose to make a break and parent me differently than everybody else parented, I didn't like it. But man, went through the blues, and I'll tell you, it's part of who I am right now. It is the blessings of where I am. You can be in multiple phases, multiple different times. You'll never stop going through this. The journey to freedom is something we continually grasp, continually hold on to. Moses says to the people who have this, who have freedom, but yet have more freedom to attain, here's what he says. Do not be terrified by them, for the Lord your God who is among you is a great and awesome God. The Lord your God will drive out those nations before you little by little. It wasn't like all of a sudden, boom, we're in the promised land, we have no problems. You're in the promised land, you're experiencing the blessings, yet there's other people who are inhabiting it who shouldn't be there, and little by little, they're capturing more and more from you. You'll never be done with getting your freedom. There'll be one thing that's done, and you realize, okay, I need to drive something else. I got to go back to recognizing that I'm in the blahs, little by little. In fact, some of us might never get to the stage of blessings that you want to get. I know it doesn't sound good, but it's true. Moses, he got to the blessings phase. I believe he was free, even though he didn't physically get into the promised land. In fact, he dies up on a mountain while the nation of Israel is on the banks of the Jordan River about to go into the promised land. He never gets there. He dies up there. Yet, in some ways, he experienced freedom. Some of us in here, you come from a long line of childhood sexual trauma. You got messed with sexually at a young age by somebody in your family, and they did too, and they did too, and they did too, and you're making a break. You've set up things. You've made a break, and that's not happening, and you feel blues, meaning you don't feel totally together. You still have these demons that mess with you, literal or figurative, but yet you are experiencing blessings, but the fullness of getting the promised land might not be experienced until your kids know what it's like to have never had to dealt with that and had a parent that dealt with that. This is part of why the Bible talks about curses of the second and third generations. There's certain things that we experience that takes generations to fully eliminate, but we all go a little bit farther, and no matter where we are, we can meet with God, and he can take us to new places. We've got a bunch of different things for you to work on. One of them is in the midst of your program today. I'm just giving you tools, left and right, any tool I can. If this tool would help you, there's a scripture that identifies Moses and some of the things he dealt with, which are some of the things that we also deal with. And I put a little prayer or a statement underneath that. Just put your name in there. Make that a statement about you. Put your stronghold in there. Put that in there and meditate on that if that would help you go to a new place. I'm telling you, the blessings are real. Freedom is real. The day of freedom is here. And for many of us, we're experiencing it right now, or you're about to experience it.